From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, September 3rd, 2025. Victims, family members, and survivors of the mass shooting in Lewiston that killed 18 people filed a negligence lawsuit against the United States government today for what they call one of the most preventable mass tragedies in America. As Susan Sharon reports, their complaint spells out how the Army violated its own policies and regulations multiple times by failing to stop Army Reserve Sergeant Robert Card, who they knew posed a danger.
Ben Dyer of Auburn says he knows who's responsible for the Lewiston shootings at a bowling alley and a bar 2 years ago next month. He came face-to-face with shooter Robert Card that night, right before Card shot him 5 times. He lost a finger and part of his arm and still has part of a bullet in his leg. He's one of 100 people who are bringing the suit and says he woke up this morning to read on social media that it's all about money.
This has nothing to do with money for us. I don't care how much money there is. I'll never get my hand back. I'll never get my arm back. These people will never get their loved ones back. Money is not going to cure anything.
Speaking at a news conference, Dyer was joined by others who were affected by the mass shooting to demand accountability from the Army, the Department of Defense, and Keller Army Hospital for failing to protect the public on October 25th, 2023. Ben Gideon is one of the attorneys representing the group.
What none of our clients knew at that time was that 4 months earlier, the U.S. Army became aware that Robert Card was homicidal, that he had a hit list, and that he was targeting the cornhole group and the bowling leagues that he had frequented.
Gideon says Card was discharged from a psychiatric hospital in New York on the condition that the Army remove his weapons. That never happened. And when Card's best friend and fellow reservist warned their superiors that he thought Card was going to snap and commit a mass shooting 6 weeks before the tragedy, no action was taken. The families first notified the federal government of their intent to sue in October of last year. By law, the government had 6 months to respond. Gideon says they hoped the Army might take responsibility for violating its own policies and accountability for failing to protect the community.
But since we served our notice, we have heard nothing. Not a single thing. Just silence.
According to the complaint, the Army has recognized for decades that military service carries profound mental health risks for those who serve. It highlights nearly a dozen mass shootings carried out by current and former military personnel, many of whom experience mental health breakdowns. One is the 2017 Sutherland Springs, Texas church shooting carried out by a former member of the Air Force who killed 26 people.
Eerily similar to what happened here, although what happened here in Maine, I think, was even worse in terms of the federal government dropping the ball.
Attorney Jamal Alsafar represented victims and survivors of that shooting in a successful lawsuit against the federal government that resulted in a settlement of more than $144 million. In that case, the Air Force failed to report the shooter's conviction for domestic violence to the National Background Check System, which allowed him to purchase the weapon used in the shooting.
Coming forward and making sure that we hold these folks accountable makes a huge difference.
The Lewiston plaintiffs say the Army understood that blast explosions can cause traumatic brain injuries that can manifest as paranoia, aggression, and violent ideation. Card was a grenade range instructor who was exposed to thousands of low-level blasts. And yet, they say the Army failed to use its crisis intervention protocols and mandatory reporting system to help Card.
We want to heal, but we will never be whole.
Cynthia Young lost her husband Bill and her son Aaron in the shooting. Aaron would have turned 16 last month.
We trusted those in power to protect our loved ones. And their inaction cost us everything.
And now she and others say it's time to hold them accountable. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
Dan Kleban, co-owner of Maine Beer Company, announced today that he's running for the U.S. Senate. As Steve Missler reports, Kleban joins a field of Democrats hoping to topple Republican Senator Susan Collins next year.
Kleban founded Maine Beer Company in 2009 with his brother, a venture made possible when Kleban and his wife cashed in their retirement savings shortly after he lost his job during the 2008 recession. The Cumberland resident heads one of the largest breweries in the state, and now he's looking to take on Collins, who is eyeing her sixth term. Kleban's introduction ad attempts to frame Collins as a career politician who has refused to stand up to President Trump while he's, quote, trampling on the values of Mainers and tearing this country apart, end quote.
She stopped looking out for us. She lied about protecting abortion rights. And she refuses to stand up to Donald Trump when it really matters. Enough is enough.
Kleban is the eighth Democrat to enter the race, and there could be others, including Governor Janet Mills, a top recruit for National Democrats. It's unclear how many of those candidates will remain in the contest if the governor runs. Graham Plattner, an oyster farmer recently endorsed by Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, has vowed to stay in the race. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
U.S. Senate candidate Graham Plattner and a coalition of healthcare advocates rallied in Bangor today to speak out against the damage they say the Trump administration is causing to Maine's healthcare industry. Plattner, who is running for the Democratic Party's nomination to challenge Republican Susan Collins, says the Big Beautiful Bill passed earlier this summer will be devastating for much of the state and that Collins failed to stop it.
Those are working people. Those are not people who are living lives in which this kind of detrimental impact is going to leave them with other options.
Plattner says as an oysterman, the issue is particularly concerning because injuries are a regular occurrence for anyone working on the water. He says that if Collins had done more to stop the bill, he likely would not be in the race to challenge her. Northern Light Health today announced workforce reductions and other organization-wide changes that it says will help it sustain patient care operations. Carol Bousquet has more.
In a statement, Northern Light officials say that 3% of the workforce, or more than 300 people, will be laid off as part of a financial improvement plan. The healthcare provider says attrition and retirements will make up two-thirds of the reductions and will include senior leadership roles. Some patient care positions are impacted, though Northern Light says most are non-clinical. Paul Bolin, Executive Vice President and Chief People and Administrative Officer, says the moves are prompted by the challenges of rising costs, low reimbursements, and denials from payers. Northern Light Health employs more than 10,000 workers across its system. It closed its Inland Hospital in Waterville this past May. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Carol Bousquet.
Some trees in Maine are already losing their leaves weeks ahead of peak fall foliage season. Jay Wason, a forestry professor at the University of Maine, says abnormally dry weather is stressing some vulnerable trees.
All that means is that the trees have detected that, hey, conditions are not great for me anymore to maintain these expensive leaves to do photosynthesis, so I can start ditching them now and move into my winter dormant mode.
Wason says trees exposed to heat and dryness may lose their leaves, and species like birch and aspen are particularly vulnerable. The Maine Forest Service says that despite drought stress, a mix of sunny days and cool nights is ideal for producing strong fall colors and predicts a terrific fall foliage season. Police say the Aroostook County District Attorney's Office is not expected to file charges against an ambulance driver who struck and killed an 8-year-old girl in Van Buren last week. Emma Cormier was crossing Main Street when she was hit. The driver, 46-year-old Amanda Skidgel, was not responding to an emergency at the time. State police say the DA's office has determined that there was no negligence on Skidgel's part. Wildfire conditions have eased in most of Maine for the first time in almost a month, according to the State Fire Service. Fire danger is still high in southern and coastal sections of Maine, but has been reduced to moderate elsewhere. The Forest Service says there were 250 wildfires last month, the most in 20 years. Thomas College announced today its highest early enrollment in nearly a decade. According to a press release, the college has welcomed 900 students, including the largest class of undergraduates since 2018. Final enrollment numbers will be confirmed in October. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 tomorrow morning, solar energy. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.